Hello, I'm Keith and the Girls, Keith Malley.
And I'm Chemda.
Welcome to My Opening Line, where we talk with artists about their first times performing. And ladies and gentlemen, I have Mercy from Overwatch herself.
That's right. It's me.
The great
Heroes
Lucy Paul.
Heroes never die.
Lucy, don't let me ruin that. All right, you just burst into the building. The adventure's about to begin. But yeah. I'll tell you what, as a fighter alongside you, I'm feeling a little defeated. What do we do?
Then I just say, I'm right behind you. Heroes never die.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Have you ever brought that into bed? The Overwatch character.
The doctor character? Is in. Oh, I should.
The doctor's in. I can see fit in there. You're a medic, right, in this game?
Mm-hmm. There's a line where I go, medic. Oh, wait. That's me.
She's sassy. Everybody's dying. She's sassy.
That's right.
The human monkey is like, no time for jokes.
Oh, you know. You know.
Oh, I know plenty.
Yeah, you
sure
know.
Sure. Adventures, right? Yeah, I know. When you played it, are you like, man, I don't know. Games are so complicated nowadays,
right? Yeah, I couldn't even walk forward.
Right.
I was just like turning in a circle. I was like, why am I always looking up and shit? Yeah, it was hard. It was hard.
Have you
like Tetris?
I think it's one of them. Overwatch is one of the most popular games of all time, period.
Yeah.
So I know there's got to be tournaments for money. Do you ever watch them play?
I went to the Blizzard Arena in LA, which used to be like the Jay Leno Studios.
Okay.
It's crazy. And we watched games, and then I also was invited to an event here where they watched a game and where they played a game. But the final, this is crazy, is on July 25th, I think, or 24th, and it's going to be at the Barclays Center.
Wow.
Wow. What?
That's at where the people, Barclays Center. That's where people, if you don't know, that's where you play basketball.
Yeah. That's
it's
like,
huge.
I don't know. What is that? 10,000 seats or something?
A million.
All of China is going to be there.
Watch people play video games as a...
The final, like there's teams. Every city has a team. And it's going to be the final. They make so much money, those players. They make way more money than us.
Do they ask you to
on the game.
Come on by?
They don't care about us at all. We went. It's so funny. They couldn't care less. We went to the Blizzard Arena. Me and the guy who voices Genji. His name is Gaku Space. And we went. And usually when we show up at anything Overwatch related, people go nuts. Right. And like we're treated like ultimate celebrities. You know what I mean? We showed up at the Blizzard Arena. And we're like, we're going to go say hello to the teams. We like get, you know, they lead us down there.
You're gonna make their day.
They open the door and we're like, hey, they literally all turn around from their computers because they're constantly playing.
Right.
And they're all eating. They turn around and look at us and just turn back and like keep doing what they're doing.
Right.
Nobody cared. Nobody cared at all.
They see you and they're like, I don't know how that's gonna help.
And
us.
Then they were like, the people, their managers or whatever were like, do you guys want a picture with them?
Because between Mountain Dew slurps, they'll do it.
Yeah, we're like, no. I mean, I guess they make more money than us. They don't care. The team that owns the people that own New York Excelsior, which is the New York Overwatch team, they own the Mets.
Oh wow!
What? Yes.
Bon Jovi's fighting to own a team of Blizzard.
It's like they don't give a fuck. They don't care at all.
I didn't even know it was even close to that kind of.
It's nuts. It's nuts. Wow. It's so nuts. They did, Blizzard did this event where they chose my character to have this pink skin to support breast cancer. A skin is like the outfit that the character wears. And it was $10 for 2 weeks. And they wanted to raise $250,000 for breast cancer research. And in those 2 weeks, they raised $10 million. It's so crazy. It's so many people.
Wow. And it's the skin so is ironic. It's just less clothes.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, all right, if this helps.
But it's pink. When I showed it to my dad while he was in the hospital, and he started crying. Mm. And he was like, this is my daughter's doing. I'm like, I'm just the voice.
No, that's why he's crying.
Yeah.
This is success to her. We raised you in the theater, R.E., and this is a thing.
We're artists. They're embarrassed.
But you were raised in a theater, right?
Yeah.
It's not like a lot of artists have stories, a lot of performers have stories of their parents had to get over it or they never got over it. Our parents are not thrilled about what we did. I don't even talk to my parents partially because of what I do for a living.
Wow.
Whereas your parents, they were encouraging all the way. They had... Yeah. They were doing theater already. So did they expect you to be in theater, in acting, in some kind of art?
I don't know if they expected it, but I definitely would have been the weirdo had I not been in.
You really would have, because you can't walk in a room and just say hello like a normal person, right? There's five accents.
No, yeah, probably. Totally true. It's true. It's funny because now I'm just realizing all that stuff isn't normal. You know what I mean? I also grew up like in when we moved to New York, we moved into this loft and there was no doors, or like everybody just lived in one room basically. And I just thought that was normal, but it's not normal.
You were in a restaurant, you're 7 years old. Okay, so this is like third grade, right?
Not even.
Yeah.
You get on, you know, it's at least seven.
Seven, second grade. Six, you're six in first grade, seven in second grade.
Well, I was a fast learner, so okay. But it seems old enough to me where I'm not a puppy anymore and I would be in trouble. She jumps on a table, shows her vagina, says, what do you say to the
customer? I was convinced when I was seven that my pussy was fat. That I had a fat pussy.
What were you comparing? What do you mean?
I don't know. I don't understand it now either. But back then, I just know I had this idea in my mind that I had a fat pussy. And so I
Is this in English, by the way?
No, it's in German, of course. And it's not pussy. It's like, what's a nicer word for pussy? Not vagina.
Hoo-ha.
Nani.
Yeah, maybe nani.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
In German, it's mushy.
Oh,
that's weird.
Which is weird because I had a friend growing up here in New York and they had a dog and the mom would always call the dog mushy face. I swear. I was always like, no, it's not right. And she would smoke weed with us. We'd all get stoned and she'd go, mushy face, mushy face. And be like, ah, no. Traumatic.
So you're 7 years old and something compelled you to stand on a table of what? A fast food restaurant?
No, this Italian restaurant where my parents always went with their actor friends. And it was a big long table, all actors and writers and stuff. And they were all drinking and having a great time. My parents always took us everywhere. We didn't like stay home with babysitters. So we were always out with them and not at like clubs, you know, but they'd go to like restaurants and drink and stuff. And then I got up on the table and took my pants off and showed everybody my pussy and said I had a fat pussy. And everybody just laughed and said, no, you don't have a fat pussy. And my parents loved it.
Well, they cover you up first, right?
No.
They're like, no, stop.
No. Nobody covered me up at all. Everybody just laughed. They laughed their asses off. They thought it was hilarious.
They were waiting to watch your show. This is avant-garde.
Basically, yeah. It was performance art.
Is it a technique so that she doesn't know this is something she shouldn't be doing and will want to do it more? Or just we're saying, hey, terrible parent.
I don't know. I saw Lucy's one of your one-person shows.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm pretty sure based on that, her parents were very proud of her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
I actually saw the one where her parents or your father was in the audience.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so she would completely like, she's kind of annihilating her dad, like doing impersonations of him. And he's in the back cracking up like, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, yeah,
ha,
yeah.
Ha,
ha. That is so true.
Yeah. Not only that, he's always like, put more of me in the show. This story. I'm like, it's not only about you, the show, you know. He loves it. Yeah, yeah, more. And he's exactly like I do him in the show. People think it's like a caricature, but it's not.
Right. Do you remember at a... So you're doing stuff in the theater as a kid, I'm sure. And do you know the transition from like, hey, now I'm doing something serious, I'm half an adult? Or is it like, just looking back, I was just always on stage. What's the big deal?
I think that there was a point where I kind of realized like, I have to find out why I'm doing this. Besides the fact that this is all I think exists in the world.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that moment where I was like, okay, I think this is me and this is what I am, but how do I actually like fight for the right to be this? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Or like actually become this aside from having been born into it. Like I think that was a hard place for
how
me
old
for
were
a
you
while.
Around?
Like I think it was like in my mid-20s, you know? I remember that one of my friends, dad's best friends was a really well-known actor in Germany when I was like 16 or something. I was like, I'm going to go to acting school and I'm going to become an actor. I was already acting. And he was like, what are you talking about? Acting is for losers. You're not a loser.
Whoa.
And I was like, what? And now I kind of get what he means because now I'm a loser. No. I'm finally a loser, Dad. I made it. No, but like, I think he just meant like, you have to, you... have to want it so bad, or it has to be your only choice. So you have to like be able to take all the rejection and all the, you know, like difficulties that come with the job and with
you,
the
you did
life.
Right at first you were a waitress for like 8 years in New York, right?
Yeah.
So do you feel like if you stayed in Germany or stayed around your family in one way or another, you wouldn't have had to go through that?
I think so. I mean, I moved to Germany when I was 18 and went to acting school there, but I dropped out after like a year and a half because I couldn't stand it at all.
You born when you say you moved to Germany?
Where was I born?
Yeah.
I was born in Hamburg, but I moved to Berlin to study acting there.
Okay.
And then I started getting a lot of work in like TV and film in Germany, but it was all like kind of bad like TV movies and stuff like that. And I wasn't happy with it at all. And I think if I would have stayed, I would have continued probably to get work here and there and led like an, you know, pretty comfortable life. But I always wanted to go back to New York and always knew that there was a little more for me that I wanted that I couldn't get in Germany. And I never felt comfortable there. I never felt at home there, you know. It was very difficult for me to find my place there amongst the Germans. Maybe it's because I'm a Jew. And they killed all my people and nobody has a sense of humor.
Have you been to a Holocaust museum?
No. Oh, I've been to a Holocaust museum. I thought you meant like to...
In the
like
Holocaust.
Have you been to the Holocaust? Yes. Oh my God, it was great. I was at the Holocaust Museum in Berlin. Yeah, I've been there. Yeah. It's incredible because the architecture is like so depressing that it actually like makes you feel
right. The
way that you're supposed to feel even if you don't have empathy
right. For
human beings.
It changes the sociopaths. Doesn't. They just have to go through the museum.
Basically, it's like very oppressive and weird and like tight. Yeah. And yeah, it's very, it's bizarre.
I went to the one in DC and started touching everything like because I want to feel more.
You know. I went to the National Civil Rights Museum in Memphis last week because I was over there. And like 2 days before that, I went to Graceland. And that was crazy. Like walking through there was like just that was crazy. It's very visceral.
Right. When you have a family that brings you up in the theater, do you have to start questioning if things are coming easy to you or not? Compared to if you didn't have family that was known in the theater?
I guess so, but that was never the case. In the acting school in Germany, they treated me like, well, you know, you're just here because your family does this or your dad does this or your cousin. You know, I have a lot of family in the theater world in Germany.
So there's always a way to treat an actor like shit.
Exactly. But it was like there was a lot of like jealousy there and, you know, a lot of like, you think you're just like, this comes easy to you because of this. But that wasn't the case. It didn't come easy to me. And obviously here, my family's not known and they don't mean shit. So
how old
it meant
were you
nothing here.
And here when you moved?
When I moved
to
back?
New York? Yeah.
When we moved to New York, I was 8.
Okay.
And then I left when I was 18 and moved back when I was 25.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now you're 42.
Now I'm 97. Yeah, that's right. And I'm a tree, which is really great. It's a great life. I love it. But I remember that there was only one other thing that I ever wanted to do. And that was I wanted as a job to be someone that wakes people up by hitting them in the face with wet washcloths.
That's a job?
That's what I wanted. Okay. I wanted it to be a job. And that's the only other thing I ever wanted to do besides like acting and performing.
Yeah. I saw,
so you're welcome, world.
I saw hidden camera footage of an old age home and there is that job.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Right. Oh, no.
Do you remember being a kid and having stage fright?
I do remember being a kid and having stage fright. When I was, I think about 4 or 5, really young, they were doing a production at the theater my dad was working at and they needed a kid. And so my dad was like, perfect. She has a fat pussy and she is a performance artist. She's perfect for this job. And they brought me in and all the actors were friends of my parents. And I remember it was a rehearsal and there was like this ramp and they said, I have to just walk down the ramp and like say something.
Okay.
And I remember all the actors were on either side of the ramp, like sitting there and they all went, come on, come on, come out. And I was too shy. I couldn't do it.
And then
I didn't do it.
Who takes your place?
My sister got the part.
And now she...
Because it's a cold, hard world, baby. Yeah.
Is she waving to you as she's walking down the ramp?
Yeah. Yeah. And she won an Oscar for it. And she married fucking Steven Spielberg. And
was she older? Is she older or younger?
She was older. Now she's younger.
Okay.
It's weird. I don't know why that happened.
That's Holly weird, isn't <I know>. It?
Also a treat.
Look at this.
Really weird. I don't know. But yeah, she did it. And then I remember that... the next time I performed was I used to be obsessed with Helmut Kohl.
Okay.
Do you know who that is?
No, he but was no
the,
offense.
He was the chancellor of Germany for like 18 years because there's no term limits in Germany. That's why Angela Merkel has been the chancellor for the last 49 years.
Right.
And
isn't that something? She meets Donald Trump and goes, oh, look, we're equals. Look at that. Isn't that funny? We're the leaders, aren't we?
Yeah, exactly. It's true, though. And so I would do impressions of him at like 7, 8.
Right.
And I would put on my dad's like pants and jacket and shirt. And I would do like, I would like listen to his political speeches and then perform for my parents and their friends, doing impressions of Helmut Kohl at age 7.
Would you be saying like political shit like that? That he
I
would be-
I think I would just like improvise it, but he had like things he would say, you know how Trump has like sad and you know whatever. Mm-hmm. He would say selbstverständlich, which means like naturally, of course, naturally, okay. Selbstverständlich. And he would always say that. So I would like make up some bullshit and then, you know, drop his catchphrase in there.
Wow, that's a lot for a 78-year-old.
But good for a comedian if they could do the chancellor's an impression of them.
Yeah.
You can do it for decades. Here it's like, 4 years later, bye.
That's true. That's true. It's very true.
So when you're over here, you, by the way, so your sister gets that part.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, karma comes around.
Yeah, it's true.
You get hired in a TV show or TV movie.
Yeah.
And the director gives you the part. Gives you the lines of another actress, says, hey, you know what? You're going to have your lines and I want you to say her lines.
Yeah, that was my first movie in Germany, TV movie.
Okay.
I got the part because I went into the audition and I didn't know that I only had to do my part. So I did all the like the dialogue and I like changed voices. Okay. And the casting director was like, who the fuck are you? This is hilarious. She was dying. And I was like, it's so fun to be at this party. Yeah, I know. It's super fun. Let's like I would just like jump back and forth.
You go walks to the left, continues.
Basically. And so she's like, you're so funny. And I got this part. And then I get to the set and it was like in Munich and it was so cool. And I was so excited and I didn't have an agent. And I like negotiated it myself. $700 a day cash.
Okay.
I negotiated it cash.
What did they start with? Like, what part did you negotiate?
10,000.
I'm like, nah. I'll just take 700, bitches. They probably offered me like 695. And right. I was like, I'm not doing it for under 700, okay?
Oh, so. You're good. Okay.
Oh, this 17-year-old. No, I was 19. And it was called Endlich Sex, which means finally sex. And it was about a virgin in like high school. And she doesn't want to have sex and blah, blah. And that sounds horrible. It was horrible. And I was one of the friends. And then I get to set and the director literally comes to me and says, all right, so I've decided to give you all the lines.
Oh my God.
Your part and the other part. And so let's go over to the actress and let her know.
Wow.
And I was like, what?
What a pussy.
Yeah. And so we had to do
what
that.
What a mushy. Was it mushy?
What a mushy, yeah.
What a mushy.
And even then, does he walk over with you and like kind of nudge you like, go ahead.
No. I just stood there and he went, so
here's
all
what
the
she wanted. Lucy, I'll tell her. She would rather just do all the lines. Her choice.
And the poor girl for the rest of the shoot.
Because she's still
had
in
no
it.
Lines. She still was in it. And she had no, she became an extra. And so she just stood there next to us. And every scene.
And you would just go back and forth, throw your voice? Like, why are they doing this?
Edit all the voices.
I mean, congrats. Yeah, it's hard.
It never came out.
Oh, really?
No, of course. It did. And it was one of those things where you're like, I'm going to do this and it's really bad. Nobody's going to see this.
Right.
So many fucking people saw it. It was on prime time, Pro 7, which is like like ABC or something like that. And it was called Endlich Sex. So everybody watched it because it had the word sex in the title, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's such a powerful word. It's the same word in every country.
Exactly. Sex. Those are my three accents again. But yeah, and that was my first German movie.
It's hard to celebrate at the final day. It's like, we all did it.
Plus you.
Right. And they're like, would anybody like to make a speech? And you go, I'll make one for both of us. Yeah. So what an honor.
You did so great.
Right. Do you get with your one woman shows? Do you get nervous doing that? Is that a dumb question?
Yeah, of course I get nervous. Okay. You have to be nervous. If you're not, the times I don't get nervous, it's usually a bad show.
Right.
Yeah. Isn't it the same for you?
I do my yearly stand-up show, but I'll be nervous every single time. Yeah. Absolutely.
You got to be nervous. Otherwise, there's something wrong with you.
It's the best to hang out with Keith backstage when he's doing a giant show. And he really, I mean, he's there by himself on stage for an hour. It's a long time. And backstage, he's just like so calm. And then he's in the bathroom for 5 minutes. And then he's so calm. And then he's in the bathroom for 10 minutes. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. The bowel movements are unreal. Oh, yeah.
It's on overdrive.
Yeah. Isn't the body funny?
That's so funny. Bowel movements.
You're about to be on stage.
Speaking of which, when I did my show in Edinburgh, which was like basically my like first real run of it, I was on stage and it had gone really well, the run, and people were loving it. I was getting great reviews. And then one time this woman jumps up and runs out of the audience, and I'm like, oh my god, what the fuck, nobody's ever walked out of this show.
Right. you didn't even walk the room, you ran the room.
She ran out and like slammed the door open. I was like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, in my head I'm doing the show, but I'm freaking out in my head. I'm like, this sucks and this show is bad. And then like 10 minutes later she comes back.
No.
And I even said, oh, you're back, great. I said it out loud, right? And then a guy came up to me after the show and he was like, oh my god, I swear to god, that woman shat herself during the show. I was sitting next to her and I heard this loud crack, and then she just said, oh god. And then I smelled something, and then she ran out.
Why would she
so
come
from
back?
That day on, because the show was so good.
Yeah.
But from that day on,
I don't give refunds.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. I say all the lines for everybody. From that, I always want to put on my poster from that day on, I've always wanted to say, so funny you shit yourself.
That is the best review.
I know, right?
Wow. Heard it here first then. Yeah. Holy yeah. Shit. Holy shit.
Holy shit. You shit yourself. I have so many shitting stories.
Do you, when you do a one woman show, but we're just going to believe you. When you do your one woman show,
yeah,
do you have, because you do get personal, do you have to warn anybody? Is that the right thing to do?
Warn, like my family, you mean, or like the audience?
The people that, your family, the people that you'll be talking about.
Okay.
I did my latest stand-up album, talking about my marriage and my divorce. Now, it is my story, but at the same time, I can see my ex being offended. So I try to tell her in some kind of way, understand that it's more about me than it's about you. Do you feel you have to do something like that?
Yes, but the worst thing that ever happened to me in a show is the Apocalypse Now, which I told you guys about earlier, is about my breakup of a long relationship I was in, and I cheated on him and all went like really, really to shit, and we were married and all that stuff. And I wrote this show and we were just had broken up like a couple of years, but it was still messy and stuff. And there was a lot of details in there that he didn't know. A lot of details about like also like sleeping with this guy,
and
this other guy.
It's so easy, guys, isn't it?
And like a lot of horrible stuff. And also like I had to make a choice about how I would portray his character, my ex, you know, because when you write a show and you write a story, it becomes a story and people become characters, you know what I mean? And you have to omit certain things and because you have a storyline, you know, and it becomes... in a way, not fiction. It's based on real things that happen.
Yes,
and
but
true
over
stories,
10 years to whittle it down to 1 year, you have to create caricatures in
exactly,
a way.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. So I had to make a decision. How do I portray him and all that? And anyway,
at the end of my stand-up, I go, and there's some nice stuff too.
Yeah, exactly, exactly, exactly. So, I saw him a couple of weeks before my first show, and he said, "I'm going to try to make it to the show," and I was like, "All right, you know." know what? If he does come, I'll tell him what it's about and stuff. But if he not, comes? Yeah, but if not, I don't have to have the conversation. And, you know, I don't think he'll come, you right. know? So, you know what's coming, right. obviously. And I had this show, like, I'd been writing it and to the last moment, and I didn't even know if I would remember anything when I got up on stage. It was my first performance. And I come out on stage and I'm like, starting the show, and I'm like, oh, cool. There's my friend Maria. That's awesome. Oh, shit. Sarah's here. Oh, my God. I like look around. Oh, I don't know those people. That's cool too. Fuck.
There's a guy in a hoodie. It's covering half his face.
He's here. He right. was there.
And the first show.
He was there in the first show. He didn't know what the show was about. He didn't know the show was about our fucking breakup and the whole story. He had no idea. He had brought his friend.
And you know, he even told his friend, like, I wonder if I will be in there a little bit. Let's see.
Oh. I changed his name, thank God, but I did the accent. I did, you know. And
But everything I said, like, he does all that.
It was so, and in my head, I was like, what do I do? Do I just make some other shit up now?
Yeah,
should
right.
I just like talk? I don't know. I considered it. I was like, I'll just talk. I'll just like make something up and it won't be the show, but it doesn't matter. I couldn't, I skipped some parts, like the wow. really graphic stuff I didn't do. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, it was horrible. It was really bad.
Was he mad?
He was so mad.
Not only would you be mad, like, as is, maybe because it's a total surprise, but when she weaves a good story and there's a standing ovation, yeah, that's exactly. a kick in the
and
face.
And people laughing, you know, it hurt really, really bad. He was so hurt. Yeah, that was one of the worst moments ever on stage for me, ever. For him, yeah.
But for the record, he did know that you cheated at that point. Like he did. You told him the day after.
He did, yeah. He did. But he didn't have to know that the guy sent me videos of his bloody dick because he had masturbated so much to pictures of me.
Oh, that's a detail. Oh, I don't even know if I needed to know that.
Everybody needs to know that.
Did you send him lube?
Did I do that?
Not me.
Right.
He did that.
Sure. That.
It's a friend. It's a story about a friend. Oh, it was so bad. But then, you know, I was like, you know what? He has to respect it. I tried to explain it to him too. I tried to be like, it's not you. Right. It's not about, it's not like, you know, I have to make it a story. And yes, it's true. All that stuff is true, but it's not like really how I would tell the story to a psychiatrist.
Do you refund his money? Because obviously he wasn't
charged
on the list.
Double.
Right. Like, I don't know how to say this, but here's 20 bucks back.
I should have, you're right.
Email it. That's a decent thing to do.
He canceled my health insurance. I was still on his health insurance.
Yeah.
He canceled my health insurance.
Yeah, you got to assume that. Yeah.
Well, he paid for the ticket, so get your own health insurance.
Yeah, that was bad. And then when I did Cry Me a River, which is 10 different characters, one of the characters is this Italian guy, and he travels the world looking for love, but he can't find love, and he's like a total caricature, but he's funny, and he goes to Thailand and he falls in love with a woman, but then he realizes the woman is a man and it's fine for him, he doesn't care, he loves this woman, but then when he realizes the woman man's penis is bigger than his penis, it's a deal breaker. And it's like a silly joke, you know, but it was like a fun character, and he does other crazy shit. And so I get to the point where I go, and then she has a penis, and it's that she is not a she, but I still love her. And then this woman jumps out of the front row and goes, if that's how you're going to talk about transgender people, I'm out of here. And stomps across the stage and slams the door.
Across the stage?
Yes, she was in the front row, and it was like, it wasn't a raised stage. And I just kind of went, but you didn't let me finish. I love this woman. And then she tweeted after the show, Lucy Pohl's show, Cry Me a River, is transphobic, homophobic, and racist. And I retweeted it.
Because it was still a nicer review than my ex's.
Exactly.
Well, she didn't get her money back.
No. Right.
But you still don't have insurance.
Nope.
Is it worth not having insurance?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. It was worth it. You really are an artist. Worth it. We got to the bottom of it.
An artiste. Right. I remember one time I was like 15 and we were at dinner and I was just bored. We were having dinner at my, where we lived in my apartment, in our apartment. And there was water on the table and I was bored. So I just poured the water over my head. Mm-hmm. Like I just wanted to see my parents' reaction. And my mom was like, what's wrong with you? And my dad was like, can't you see? She's a flower that needs water.
Oh my God.
Oh, you're insane, you're saying. Yeah. I follow.
Yeah.
That's great.
So what? You don't have a choice. How could I have become a doctor?
Right. Let's wait it out. It's not a phase. Between the gushy and the...
Mushy.
Gushy. I didn't mean to be derogatory. Lucy Pohl, the website, if you want to see what's doing, and you do, LuciePohl.com, and you'll find out what's going on. I think you're a treat. I don't have to live with you, so that's fine. But I do like you're out there creating art.
Yeah.
Thank you. Was also, of course, on our Keith and the Girl, another podcast. She was on there a couple times. Go to KeithandtheGirl.com. We also have a YouTube channel dedicated to that show, Keith and the Girl, under YouTube.
And now the closing theme song. What you just heard was my opening line. Please subscribe and tell your friends. Go to myopeningline.com.